Jordan Dance!
Bring him up, gang. Bring him up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
As we hit the season of Thanksgiving, not much thanks and certainly no giving going on as NASCAR and a couple of its teams get ready to go to court. Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Pit Reporters. We'll be this week, Jeff Hammond and John Roberts.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome to the show. Glad to have Jeff and JR here, and we got a lot to dig into. And you know, we've talked a lot about not talking a lot about this whole trial we got coming up. And like a lot of us, Jeff, thought that this thing would be resolved long before it got to trial, but the trial date is coming up on Monday, December 1st, and as we record this show, no settlement has happened, and things have gotten real ugly as a bunch of emails have gotten out that I don't think either side is proud of at this point in time.
Yeah. I mean, that's the easiest way to answer this whole thing. Yeah. And what do we do about it, folks? I mean, that is, I think, the bigger question is we realize that in the heat of the moment, and let's face it, there's a lot up for grabs. We've got a lot of people that we were counting on in the upper echelon of NASCAR to help resolve this. And it hasn't come to fruition yet, which is disturbing, at least in my book, because these people, this is our livelihood. This is a sport that is not 100% solid, you know, on bedrock. You know what I'm saying? We all make mistakes and we all can, you know, really, I think learn that, you know, what do we need to do to get it back to where we take care of our fans? Number one, take care of our fans. And then number two, take care of our competitors and those teams. NASCAR is supposed to be the guiding ship when it comes to all this. And yeah, I think we've learned some things recently that are disturbing, very disturbing, because you count on them to do the right thing. I'm really curious to see what happens on day one when they strike that gavel and say, okay, we're going to try to get some resolution out of this, and which I'm sure they all want resolution. Are we playing that same game we started with over a year ago, a long time ago, however you want to look at it, of who's going to give?
Yeah, so far it appears neither team wants to give, neither side wants to give. But I think, JR, that both sides apparently have forgotten the old adage that don't put anything in writing that you wouldn't want people to see.
Every mic is an open mic, right, Brett and Jeff? Yep. I think we knew that for certain. Guys, I think it's incumbent upon us, as anytime you get on a radio or a television outlet and you're speaking, you want to speak within your school. We are sportscasters. Jeff, you're an analyst. We know racing. That's what we're supposed to know. And we're not legal experts. But I tell you one thing, guys. You don't have to be a legal expert to know, A, when it goes to the courts, no one wins. And you don't have to be a legal expert to know this is hurting us, guys. This is hurting us. Just like Jeff said a moment ago, this is the sport we love. And this sanctioning body has guided us for so long. As a real quick personal note on the side, guys, I got an opportunity to interview Bill France Jr. a couple weeks before he passed away. And after we did the little interview, the camera was off. I said, Mr. France, thank you so much for what you and your family did back in the day. Because of the guts you guys showed to create this sport, we all have really cool jobs. Now, I know those things evolve over the years. Sanctioning bodies change, sports change. But the bottom line is this. Guys, we need the cooler heads to prevail. There's been a lot of damage done so far. And that's not me trying to speak as an attorney or a legal expert. It's just simply damage. And as of right now, no one is winning in this thing, and perhaps the biggest loser again, like you guys just mentioned, the fans, and that's what we need to take care of.
Well, and John brought it up, and you know, Jeff, the judge has said, if this thing goes to trial, neither side is going to win. And at this point in time, with the emails and the messages that are coming out, both sides are already losing, and we haven't gotten to trial yet.
No, and the thing is, there's been more damage done from some of the, you know, communications that should have never been made. And I think everybody's seen that. And unfortunately, whether they're personal, whether they're professional, or, you know, where they come from, are inexcusable. Again, we're not trying to, I don't think, run the sport, but at the same time, we're not doing what's best for it. And I hope that, you know, with this judge's guidance and everybody finally realizes that, you know, we don't need to be, and I believe I'm saying this correctly, you know, doing depositions with, you know, Rick Hendrick and Roger Penske. I mean, this is something that needs to be resolved by NASCAR and the people that are involved. You know, I think, you know, 2311 and Front Row have decided to challenge some of the things that NASCAR had laid out, and they need to get it resolved. But now we've got everybody, you know, caught up in it. We got, you know, NASCAR officials, you know, calling longtime car owners and drivers names. And you know, it's just, it's sad. It really is sad that we've gotten down to this point. And I'm just hoping that between Thanksgiving and when they strike the gavel and come into session, that somebody's got a game plan to come up with some kind of resolution and say, you know, Your Honor, we have, you know, over this, before we came into court, you know, we have got a direction we'd like to go in. And I hope they can do that.
JR, you know, we thought maybe the most damning evidence that would come out of this was the finances. But so far, the finances don't seem to have been damning. This has been damning, is what's coming, you know, yes. It's to Jeff's point.
Yes, sir. 100% there. And I know, you know, you never begrudge somebody for wanting to make more money. Everybody wants to make more money. It's like when they ask Roger Clemens, you know, hey, you just signed the first $10 million contract. Is that too much for one dude to get paid? And Clemens said, listen, you throw a baseball into a size of a handkerchief, something the size of a handkerchief, and then you can talk about how much somebody gets paid. So you never want to limit what a professional sports figure gets. It's what the market controls. And everybody wants to make more money. I understand that. But when you are entering into something that you know fluctuates, and shoot, back in the day, you know, before the charter system came about, when you had the teams that were folding up, and when the teams folded, they'd open the garage door and sell their equipment for pennies on the dollar. When we came up with this charter system, I felt as if, guys, that was NASCAR really throwing these team owners a bone, that it was a good thing on their part. Now, I don't know the other side of it. I don't know how much they made before. I don't know how much they made after the charters, but I do honestly believe that what it was a goodwill gesture on behalf of NASCAR to help the teams with the charter system. Whether or not that has worked out in their favor has, I believe, yet to be seen, and we'll probably see that in the courts. But I understand that, you know, you don't want to have a losing proposition. And it's like old Felix Sabatis once told us, I asked Felix, I said, you know, you guys that are owning these race teams, is it a hobby? Is it fun? Or is it a business? And Felix looked at me and said, John, we are not stupid. We're here to make money. Okay. And they're not stupid. And the rest of the group that's out there that signed the charters, I don't think they're stupid. They may have had their concerns about these things. But the concerns were greater for 2311 and Front Row. And then we're going to have this old, because I actually did, guys, I paid attention a couple times in school. It was pretty rare. But I do remember the Sherman. Yeah, every once in a while, I do remember the Sherman Antitrust Act. And it makes a little bit of sense.
And, real quickly, Jeff, I mean, I know you're a big football fan also. And we have seen strikes in football. We've seen strikes in baseball. Hockey missed an entire season a while back. And yet, as I wonder what the long-term effect of this is, obviously we don't know what the result is or who's going to win or who's going to lose this thing. But looking at what has come out already and hearing the vitriol from the fans already on what has been said, I wonder what the long-term effect is. And yet I look at what's happened in football and baseball and hockey and these other sports. I think long-term, it's not going to be that big a deal. The fans will forgive and forget and get once we get back to racing. Do you agree?
No, I agree. But at the same time, when we say we're going to agree to something, how much is it going to affect what they're seeing on the track? I don't, we've not really experienced anything like a strike like they have here. I mean, you know, the last time anybody ever threatened not to do a race was back, you know, in the Big Bill France days.
Yeah.
Back when the Talladega, you know, it was more of a safety deal than anything else. And it backfired on everybody. Okay. But it showed that, look, you know, we're going to put up with a lot of things in NASCAR, but we're not going to put up with a union. And I think, you know, as we go along here, the idea of having this charter system and everybody trying to work within parameters that were better for the overall sport was working in the right direction, and it jumped track. And I think this is what's this judge is trying to say, hey, you guys need to fix this thing or we're going to wind up, the whole sport's going to wind up losing. This is not, you know, one issue and one individual or team or whatever. It's going to affect everybody. And I think we're going to take a big step backwards if we can't get it took care of. And I really believe this. If we haven't got this resolved by January 1, I think it may affect our 2026 season.
JR, you feel the same way? Do you feel that long term this is going to be a blip and the fans will forgive and forget once we get back to racing, obviously knowing what the end result's going to be?
Yeah, if you guys remember old George Will, the commentator, he said after 9/11, he said the best thing and the worst thing about American society is we forget things very quickly. It can be a real bad thing that we forget things quickly. It can be a real good thing. It could be a real blessing that we forget things. This is a huge bump in the road. But what I do believe firmly is that NASCAR will continue. There's going to be some fallout from this thing. But if I was the only person in the world, Brett, that could make a widget that could make us fly to space or something, that's my ball game, right? That's my thing. I own it. I got it. NASCAR has the best stock car sanctioning body in the country. If you want in the world, if you want to play in their court, you tend to have to use their ball. Okay. So if I want that product, I have to pay what I have to do. I have to do what I have to do to be a part of that. And it's a privilege at times to be a part of it. If it's not a good business model though, it's going to fall apart as well. So when you say, is there going to be long-term fallout? Yes, there will be. How great it's going to be. I'm really, really optimistic that it's not going to be that great. Because again, guys, when the gavel bangs, there's still an opportunity to call that judge into the courtroom. Because again, that was another day. I went to class, Brad. I went to class this day and heard this, that once the trial starts, you know, you can come up and say, okay, enough of this, judge, can we all meet? And they meet, and perhaps cooler heads can prevail.
All right. When we come back, pretty good truck drivers returning to the series next year. We'll talk about that. Stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Doug Rice at PRN. Join me every Monday night for another great episode of Fast Talk.
I watched the race on TV and they wanted to give him the mantle of greatest of all time, and he's won four races in a row. And so I can't do that yet. But I do think what we're watching is a guy who's changing the sport. He's changing the way the other drivers approach road racing. He's making them study. He's making them up their game.
That's Fast Talk right here on the Performance Racing Network.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
And hey, welcome back, along with John Roberts and Jeff Hammond. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. Interesting name going back to the Truck Series next year, JR. Christian Eckes, who took a shot at the Xfinity Series this year, didn't have the year he'd hoped. But going back to the Truck Series to run for McAnally Hilgeman Racing next year.
I love to hear that, Brett, because in this past season, I think we saw such a great evolution of the Truck Series. Again, Corey Heim kicked everybody's butt. But you know what? He wasn't kicking the butts of guys that, you know, of two or three guys that had rags in their back pocket, putting pushing a box of a truck to a racetrack. This series is really, really good and really, really deep. What Corey Heim, David Gillen, all those guys did this past season, I think is absolutely remarkable. But so to keep that going, I think that the series is very healthy, very strong. And also, again, with NASCAR relaxing how many times some of the drivers can come to the Truck Series and drive again, I think the series is really strong. And I'm glad to see Christian there because, again, that's always been debatable a little bit. Now, years ago, guys, if we were talking about this, it would be very clearly a demotion for a driver, okay, to go to the Truck Series. Like, let's be honest, okay? But when a driver right now, and I think you can ask John Hunter Nemechek about that too, when a driver goes, and I know sometimes you use the term over instead of down to the Truck Series, it can be a really good thing for your career because this is a marathon, it's not a sprint. And I think for Christian to go back and do that and get some confidence, I think it's a really good thing. And I'm as always, I'm really excited about the Truck Series. I really think it's great racing.
Well, and keep in mind, Jeff, that he was with Colleague this year. And, of course, the Colleague now O'Reilly program is going away.
Yeah, you got that going on. And I think there's a certain amount of loyalty even being said because, you know, the Chevrolet tie overall. I mean, I don't think that he was finding himself in a comfortable position, you know, to want to run with Ram. Even though Ram is coming back and really strong in the Truck Series, I think that's another reason why, you know, he wanted to go back and be a part of the bow tie brigade that, you know, that Bill McAnally has had for so long. And with an organization that, you know, Bill is always looking for somebody who can be put his organization in the middle of a championship run. And I think Christian is one of those drivers that can do that.
Well, let me ask you, because you brought up Ram, how big a bite is Colleague taking to not only start up Ram, the Ram program, but to have 5 trucks to go from 0 to 5 and to start the whole program from scratch?
Fortunately for them, one of the biggest things they got in their favor is the engine program. You know, you've already got that. You buy those engines, you know, direct, you know, and you don't have to worry about creating that and building them from within. You can go ahead and you can have those sitting in the floor January 1. And NASCAR has worked, I think, extremely hard to make sure everybody understands that the guys in the Truck Series are going to get some test time. And the big benefit factor is everybody in the Truck Series is going to get it, not just Ram. So there's a lot of moving and shaking this off season. The other good thing about it is, everything is from the windshield, or really almost from the nose back. You got to put a tailpiece on that will give you brand identity along with the nose. And they've been working on that pretty tirelessly all season long. And they've got that where they need for it to be. And all the numbers are starting to shake up pretty good. So it's a big bite, but at the same time, if you've ever run a multi-car team, the number is nowhere near as bad, as big and important as it is the right people. And I think that, you know, Chris Rice and everybody over at Kulik have done a really masterful job of bringing these people in and getting ahead of the game as far as trucks are concerned and being prepared along with NASCAR's help.
JR, do you think Dodge is making a mistake putting all their eggs in the one basket rather than spreading it around among a couple of different teams?
I'm not sure, Brett, if they had a choice or not. You know, when it comes to manufacturing, they may have had to have gone that way, but I don't think it's really a problem to put all the eggs in that one basket, because then again, they can share. They can share knowledge. They can share, you know, what they are coming about. They can, and they have some pretty cool ideas from what, you know, with the one, that particular truck that they're going to rotate some drivers in and out of. They'll call a lot of attention to it, because we all know this is not the witness protection program. The idea is to go out there and to get noticed. I think Dodge will get noticed. And, I don't think it's any secret that, you know, this is the stepping stone to get back fully into motorsports. And the Truck Series, again, is a great way to start. I don't think there's any negative about that. And I also think with, you know, with the innovation, Matt Kulik and Chris Rice, the guys that are there, I think they know what the heck they're doing. And I think they will really do a service to Dodge. I think we're going to be sitting here at this time next year and saying, boy, that Dodge thing was pretty cool.
Going to be interesting to see it. Jeff.
I agree with what John's saying. And the interesting thing is we talk about Kulik. They've run Cup Racing. They've been running Xfinity. And if they have some adjustments from within to be able to pull all this air off, and I think the drivers they're bringing in there, there are a lot of people who have talent within a lot of these other organizations, and especially Xfinity. Don't be surprised to see them migrate down, and they'll be ready. I mean, that's the cool thing about it. I think that it's really in a position right now that as long as you've got good people in the shop and you've got good trucks being, you know, brought to you, and those trucks are being assembled currently, you're going to be surprised. Dodge has not forgot what they had and what was successful for them several years ago, if you remember what Bobby Hamilton had. And he was winning championships with you know, Ram now.
Another interesting story is I got another youngster coming up, another teenager coming up. 17 years old right now, Brent Cruz is going to be, for most of the season, the full-time driver for the 19 Toyota of Joe Gibbs Racing in the O'Reilly Series. He'll turn 18 on March the 30th, JR. Could we have another Connor Zilich in our hands?
You know, I hope so. I think it is really good for any one of NASCAR series to see one of these young up-and-coming drivers that the younger racers out there can identify with. But again, it stings a little bit because I have scars that are over 17 years old. And it's pretty difficult to look at and to think when I was 17 or 18 years old, I probably couldn't hit my butt with both hands. And much less be out there driving in the Xfinity Series or in the Cup Series. I think, guys, when we migrate so much, you know, these things go up and down, right? Driver development used to be a huge thing. Then driver development turned into whose daddy had the most money. Now we're back to driver development again and getting these guys in. But I think there's a tremendous amount of expectations that come with these young up-and-coming superstars. For the most part, guys, they live up to it. And, you know, it was funny. I was just flipping through the old social media today, and I saw a picture of him with a big old grin on his face, wearing a JGR T-shirt. And they said, you know, announcing this, you know, our new driver. And I saw that smile on his face, and I'm thinking, man, if I was his age and I was now getting associated with Joe Gibbs Racing, boy, what a thing that would be. How cool would that be? But by the same token, though, there's a lot of pressure that comes with it. And again, it's the evolution of our driver development right now that everybody's really, really looking at these younger phenoms.
We have not seen the tip of the iceberg right now. I mean, last year was just a really, I think, an eye-opening experience about we've seen guys come in different series and, you know, they have one. Shoot, we've not got one. We got them littered throughout everything from the Cars Tours to ARCA. It don't matter. I mean, we've got so much talent out there being spread around the United States and probably for the world for that matters. I think it's kind of like pick and choose, and how far they will go will be directly come from where they wound up landing and who they put to help them. I mean, I think, you know, we saw a really good example of that is we felt like that Junior Motorsports was going to walk away with the Xfinity Championship. Not so much. You know, all of a sudden, Mr. Love,
yep.
he rallied up her, but he, you know, he's got a great crew chief and Danny, and it's just, you know, a situation there where people coming together, and I think you can go and look at why all these guys were so successful last year. They had experienced crew chiefs, and they had the right kind of leadership within the organization. I don't care if it's trucks, you know, whether it's at Richard Childress Racing, or if you go right over here and realize that Kyle Larson with Hendrick, you know, felt like he surprised everybody at the end of the year pulling that championship out like he did. But it's all about the people. You got to have the right people.
Well, speaking of championships, we still don't know how NASCAR is going to determine their champion next year. And I'll get these guys' thoughts on how they would do it if they were in charge. And they may be by this time next year. Stay with us.
Listen up, fellow timeshare owners. If you're a timeshare owner and you want out at all costs, you're done, frustrated, tired of wasting money, you don't use the darn thing. Get out now. Hire the best bulldog timeshare cancellation team in the business. Their in-house legal team, headed by a timeshare cancellation lawyer, can help you fight the biggest and baddest companies out there that sell timeshare. At some point, you were using your timeshare, but now you're not, and you're tired of wasting money. Before you go to the poorhouse, call right now and learn how you can stop the maintenance fees and put more money back in your pocket. Their services cost you a lot less than you think, and you'll save a lot of money over time. Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline now. It's a free consultation.
800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. That's 800-890-5957.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Monza was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Jeff Hammond and John Roberts, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, Jeff, you're in charge. What do you make the championship look like next year?
Go ask somebody who knows and who cares. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but it's like I've been through so many of them, Brett. You're like me. You've been around a long time.
Yeah.
You remember a guy named Bob Latford?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
The back of the cocktail napkin.
Exactly. And so it's like we've gone through, and I've witnessed, you know, and I think here recently somebody wrote up a deal. The last real cup champion to run the right point system was Matt Kenseth, according to those people that were surveying it.
Yeah.
So it's like we keep trying, Brett, And I'm not saying there's not a system out there. I know the AI is running rampant throughout the world. So, I mean, I'm sure somebody will plug something into a computer and they'll come up with something that it works. But I genuinely do not want to get involved with somebody and sit down and try to figure it out until they get serious. I'm sorry. I don't feel like, I mean, we got a lot of people who are guessing and telling them we ought to go back to this. I mean, I've heard Mark Martin's argument. Everybody has got an opinion. And guys, I'm not knocking your opinion. I just don't think that the people that are right now confused are totally understanding what you're talking about, because some of them have never had to be around this system. There's a lot of young fans that haven't really had to deal with this. So understand my patience and my reluctancy to really get this dog in this fight.
Well, but let me ask you, do you think we should have some kind of playoff still? I mean, you talked about the old Latford system, and that's the way Matt Kenseth won the championship. But you've also spent a lot of your career in television now since you retired as a full-time crew chief.
Right.
And so from that standpoint, you understand the entertainment factor.
The drama.
Yeah, that comes into play, and wanting fans to be entertained and the drama that builds to the end, you want to build to the end of the season.
I like it like that. I mean, it's hard to go against something that has an opportunity to sell itself. I mean, you just say at the end of the year, the next to the last race going to Phoenix for all three series was unimaginable. 1 point, you know, tie, you know, tell me that that was bad. Tell me that that was bad. I mean, I sit and I watch, you know, the football, it's football season. So you watch what's going on right now, especially in college and even in the professional ranks. You don't know, and you can't predict how it's going to, you know, interact and play out until you get right down to that next to the last game to really find out who's going to be representing who. And we got a pretty good, I think, race for the championship in all three series. And I think that, you know, we've had a lot to talk about since then. I think it's hard to say you got to fix something that I don't think's broken.
JR, where do you come down on it?
Okay, I not only have a dog in this fight, I am the dog in this fight. I respect the heck out of everybody else's opinion, but number one, am going to tell you right now, this is the best way NASCAR has ever had to decide a champion. It has elimination. It has drama. It rewards consistency. It still rewards consistency. So if you want to argue against this, why are you going to sit here and say Kyle Larson isn't the real champion because he didn't put together the stats that Denny Hamlin did throughout the course of the regular season? When we did that, guys, Matt Kenseth's championship, he played by the rules. I don't want to take anything away from it. Or Kurt Busch's championship in the chase for the championship. This is the better way to do this thing because we have actual elimination. We have all these things that build up throughout the course of the year. And if you want to sit here and tell me just because the Georgetown Hoyas scored more points than their opponents throughout the course of the year, that you should just give them the trophy at the end of the Final Four, that's lackluster. We would have handed Connor Zilch and Corey Heim the trophy, guys, weeks before this whole thing ended, and no one would have cared about it. This is the best system that NASCAR has ever put together with what they have put in there. It crowns a true champion because it makes that walk-off home run, that Hail Mary pass, guaranteed at the end of this season. Guys, don't change this just because some people want to go back. Guys, if we're sitting here in these chairs next year and say Kyle Larson goes off next year and just wins a ton of races, and we're sitting there two races before Homestead and he goes to Homestead again, guys, I never liked that. I never liked going to Homestead. I love Jimmy Johnson and he was a great champion. They played by the rules, but he had a couple of situations, if I'm not mistaken, guys, the number was finished 21st or better, and you win the championship, and everybody pulls out of his way. Guys, you got to have that Super Bowl, that Game 7, that Final Four bit of drama that we have right now. It's not created, and again, guys, let me preface once again. I do not disrespect anybody else's opinion. This is my opinion. I love the way we're doing it right now. Please do not change it.
Oh, JR, I said a couple weeks ago, I said, okay, Kyle Larson finishes third in the final race. And think about how that's, he finished third and won the championship. Now, let's put the other side on it. If he only had to finish third, how's that story? He's finishing in the same position, but only had to finish third versus he finished third and beat the other guys.
Well, I think the fact, Brett, let me go back to that. Then that's not predictable, right? If we have that 36 race format, right, and Kyle Larson goes to Phoenix at this point or Homestead, and you say, okay, because of the points that he's accrued, he has to finish third or better. Yeah, that's okay. That's fine. And that's some drama, but we're not guaranteed that. What happened was Kyle Larson had to finish third or better. And none of us knew that until there were three laps to go, right? Until William Byron blew the tire. We didn't know that. We didn't know what his finishing position had to be. And therefore, that's why you get that thing. And Patriots fans, I'm sorry. The year the Patriots went undefeated to the Super Bowl and they lost it, I don't remember anybody saying, oh, well, that's not a real Super Bowl champion, right? Because who'd they lose to, the Giants?
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah, Giants.
Giants. All right. And again, I appreciate guys like Justin Marks, smart dudes, great opinion. Motorsports are not stick and ball sports. There's some luck involved with tires and other competitors, and it's one team against another in the final four, and it's 38 race cars out on the racetrack. But it's still the cream of that crop. The cream still rises to that top, and the fact that it's out there and the way it's determined, we can have some really really boring championship races. We can have some great ones, granted. And there's no guarantee, but NASCAR has made it so we guarantee guys a down-to-the-wire thing. Excuse me, I'm pretty passionate about this. I don't want to see it changed.
All right, when we come back, I'm going to find out what these guys thought some of the superlatives were from 2025. Stay with us.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. Here's Paul Doschel of Toyota.
We have a kind of robust program around NASCAR, and we feel that if we're going to be there and compete against Chevrolet and Ford, that we want to be able to tell that story. And so we feel that a 360-degree approach is the best for that. Radio fills a much-needed void in our marketing program. Being able to have our commercial spots and the relationship that we have with PRN, where they talk about our vehicles as Camrys and Supras.
The Toyota GR Supra makes that hard left turn onto pit road.
As pace cars, you know, the Toyota Camry pace car or the GR Supra pace car adds a nice touch to broadcast rather than when it's just the pace cars coming out of turn four. So for us, it's really the coming together of the 360-degree approach to really make our program all-inclusive.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business. Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, along with John Roberts, Jeff Hammond, Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, JR, Who was your driver of the year in NASCAR? And it could be any of the National Series.
Corey Heim. I'm going to go with Corey Heim. Just because of the dominance and what they did. No disrespect to Zilich or Kyle Larson or anybody else of what they did throughout the course of the season. I just like the way Corey Heim carried himself. And, guys, really, I think there were two types of truck races this season. The ones that Corey Heim won and the ones he should have won. That was one heck of a story that group put together. I'm going to go a little bit off the grid and go Corey Heim.
Jeff, how about you?
Oh, there's Connor Zilich, Kyle Larson, SVG, William Byron. I can't tell you this one person in any series because they have all put on a show at one time or another. And just like JR saying.
What office are you running for?
Dog catcher. You know, I can applaud, because folks, I hate to say it, I've lived this with guys who are masters behind the wheel. Cale Yarborough, you know, Darrell Waltrip, Dale Earnhardt. When you watch these guys, when they are in their prime and they're doing their thing, it's fun. You know, they are truly masters behind the wheel. And they had a year where they did that. And to John's point, I mean, when you think about Corey Heim and what he did with Zipadelli, I mean, it's poetry in motion. For somebody like me watching them and how they raced, and you go all of a sudden over there, great battles with SVG and Connor Zilich, you know, on the road courses. All of this is just so captivating to these guys' ability and how the crews rally behind their drivers. You know, somebody, oh, SVG, he ain't no good anywhere. Look, when he goes to a road course, folks, bow down to the master. He has beat some of the best of the best. And that's what makes it fun with our sport as a whole. We were privied to a phenomenal season in 2025 because of these drivers in each level of the series. Even when you think about, hey, who's a Butterbean Queen, you know?
Yeah.
And an ARCA series, he showed that he's got a young talent that's coming along and doing a masterful job. These kind of guys, and no matter what level, you have to appreciate what they bring in front of you, no matter what series it is. And I, for this year, 2025, you can pick it because you're not going to go wrong.
So I guess it's fruitless to ask you who the best crew chief was.
they all have their moments. I mean, and I mentioned William Byron. To me, you know, Rudy Fugle, right now, two-time Daytona 500 winner. Got himself into the playoffs again, you know, had a shot at winning a championship. You know, it just, these guys are second to none as far as wearing a radio headset, I mean, and calling the right shots at the right time. I mean, I don't want to leave Denny Hamlin out of this mix. I enjoyed watching Denny race this year. He rose to the occasion every time he needed to kind of move his opportunity to get in that position to win his first championship.
Yeah. Would you like to take a shot, JR, at the top crew chief?
Cliff Daniels. Period. Yeah. Cliff Daniels, some strategy that he did throughout the course of the season, guys. You know, and Kyle had some ups. The team had some ups and downs. I just really think Cliff is an incredibly smart dude and that he did some things this year that I really liked in terms of strategy and in terms of keeping the group together. Don't want to take anything away. Zippy would be, Scott Zipadelli would be my second guy.
Yeah.
But Cliff's my number one.
I tell you, I gotta throw it. Kudos to Marty Lindley, what he was able to do.
True.
No doubt about it. That's what I'm saying right now, Brett, is when you go and you start trying to pick this apart, it's almost like you're disrespecting the one that you don't pick. And that's what makes, I say, 2025, all three series, people came and stepped up and did the best they could do at the moment. And a lot of darn times, it was pretty spectacular.
All right. When we come back, I'll give you guys some time to prep for this. What you will remember is the top story from 2025, but also what you think the big stories will be that we'll be talking about in 2026. Stay with us.
You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-859-0047. 800-859-0047. That's 800-859-0047.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Logano back across the stripe. Now Zane Smith putting on some pressure.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Boy, what a save. We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars. Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon at turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Ty Gibbs. Which way is it going to go?
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Looks like Austin Cindric is involved. Denny Hamlin. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Brad Keselowski will see the white flag as he drives under the start-finish line.
Chase Elliott has battled at the front all night long. He's won the war. Chase Elliott has just punched his ticket to the playoff.
Awesome job, man. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
This is PRN.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Jeff Hammond, John Roberts, Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, I kind of queued you up going into the break, Jeff. So when you look back on 2025 and 6 months or 6 years, what are you going to remember about this year? What are the two or three big stories?
One of the biggest stories that I feel can't be overlooked, number one, has to be the battle between Connor Zillage and SVG. I mean, those two guys on the road courses went to war and put on one of the best shows that I've ever seen. And it was two drivers that nobody had predicted going into till after we started seeing the handiwork that built throughout the year. They made, I think, road racing fashionable in 2025. I really do. I think they made it exciting in 2025 because of that. And up to that point right there, I wasn't a huge road course fan. Every now and then when somebody like a Marcus Ambrose or somebody popped up, you know, and we saw something different, that was fun to watch. But those two guys made it, I mean, they gave it a certain amount of pizzazz and attitude like they've never had before.
Right. Anything else you think back?
The fact that William Byron went back to back in the Daytona 500. I think that right there, once again, he was so close, I think a few years ago, of getting demoted until he had Rudy Fugel. I'm a big fan of Rudy Fugel, no matter it's where it is, but when you're able to win back to back Daytona 500s, you start falling into a category, not only of Hendrick's success, but Wood Brother Petty success when it comes to the Daytona 500.
JR, what stories do you remember from 2025?
Brett, I wish I could tell you something different. I really wish I could say something different than what I'm going to say. But don't say it.
Sorry about that.
Move along.
All right, man. That's okay, guys. But I'm just in honesty and realism. When we look back at this year, you have a guy who is going for a championship that happens to own a race team and is suing the sanctioning body of said sport. that is unfortunately, guys, what people are gonna, what I'm gonna remember about this year. I will remember some of the great things that happened this year, some of the talent we saw developed, the earliest sellout for the Daytona 500 in history of that racetrack, a lot more excitement around the racetracks, at least the races I got to go to. I really these days, guys, savor being having the opportunity to go to a race. It only happens about half the time. But when I do, I noticed an excitement at the racetrack. That will stick with me. But also, I'm sorry, guys, but I just got to say lawsuit.
All right. Anything else?
I like this young talent again. Corey Heim, Connor Zilich, and some of the other guys that showed themselves and what they're going to do. I think we'll look back on this year in a few years and say, man, these guys that are competing for this Cup championship right now, man, remember when they're kicking everybody's butt in Xfinity and trucks? I think we'll say that.
All right. Looking ahead to 2026, first couple months of the year, what do you think we're going to be talking about, Jeff?
I think there's going to be a lot of focus being put on Dodge, the return of Dodge, and how successful they are either are or they aren't. And can they, you know, be able to dig their heels in early on and be a factor? Because I think that as Dodge goes, I think the overall health of the sport will continue to go. I think there's other people out there and other manufacturers that would like to come in and be a part of the NASCAR program and footprint. But we've got to have some incentive. We got to have a reason to think that we can compete with the Toyotas, Chevrolets, and Fords of our current established group. And I think, you know, Dodge, you know, has been in and out, you know, several times in the history of their company and organization. I hope they'll come in and make a really good stand. I don't want nothing or anybody perceive that there's a lot of hoodoo being going on here. I already told you about, you know, they're going to run the same Elmore engine that everybody else in the truck series does. So they don't have, you know, some independent engine organization doing anything. And if they know and the platform that NASCAR works off of when they make modifications to the noses and tailpieces as far as aerodynamically, you know, more downforce or less drag, that kind of program, if they do it correctly, we should see four manufacturers, you know, battling their tail off to have good runs next year. Somebody has got to put a stop to Tricon, no matter what, because we know they got a good organization over there and got good people. So I think that's going to be another thing that's going to be interesting. And that's me just looking at that level early in the year.
JR, what do you think the stories will be that we'll be focusing on the first few months?
Okay, here comes Negative Nelly once again. Okay, pre-green flag of the Daytona 500, it's going to be the fallout from the lawsuit. Post green flag of the Daytona 500, we will all remember why we love this sport, why we got back to it. There's going to be an exciting winner. There's going to be a great story there, and we'll get back to racing and start talking about the stories that we're supposed to be talking about. But before that, guys, there's going to be a lot to hash out after all this is said and done.
All right. I am afraid you are correct, sir.
Me and Debbie Downer here, you know.
Well, you know, it's kind of hanging out there. It's been hanging out there for a year. And like we talked off at the top, we all kind of assumed that it would be settled before we got to this point, and we were all wrong to this point.
Very true, sir.
It could still be settled in the next few days, but maybe it was wishful thinking.
So both of you guys, feeling like you do, do you think we get that resolution before January 1?
No, sir. Sorry.
Well, once the trial starts, who knows? You know, see how the evidence presents and what the perception is once the court starts and you got a jury sitting in there, and we'll see. I mean,
you're too far apart, guys. I think you're too far apart right now on any type of agreement that it'll have to be hashed out. But there had been so much damage done already. I would hope that they would come, that they would talk about this. I'll be very surprised if it didn't hit the courtroom. And there's some more drama along the way. I wish I could say different, but that's my feeling, gut feeling.
Yeah, I mean, they've had their opportunities to resolve this thing, and both of them tend to be at this point in time standing there with their feet in concrete and willing to move. So unless some people can get the, I think really, unless some people can get the higher ups at NASCAR to budge at this point in time, I think this could go on for a while. So we'll see. When we come back, White Flag Laps.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
My fiance is a veteran.
I did tours in Korea, Germany, and Bosnia before I got injured.
When Yusuf got out of the military, he needed help getting his disability benefits.
Luckily, DAV came to the rescue. They fought for me the same way that I fought for my country.
Every year, DAV provides life-changing support to more than a million veterans.
My victory is never giving up and finding more ways to serve.
He's pretty amazing.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Hi, this is Doug Rice at PRN. Join me for another great episode of Fast Talk.
We have NASCAR Hall of Famer Kurt Busch. What does a much older, wiser Kurt Busch want to tell Carson Hocevar?
Well, let's bust out all the VHS tapes and you can watch all my mistakes. Try not to do those, Carson. I like what he's doing. He's learning and he's putting his time in up front.
That's Fast Talk right here on PRN.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Time now for our White Flag Laps. And first up is John Roberts.
Guys, I think it's pretty easy for us to fall into a negative thought on NASCAR right now when so many people were so vocal about the way we crowned the champion and the fact that there is a lawsuit going on between some teams and the sanctioning body. That is going to get the headlines. That is going to be what people are talking about. But let's take a step back right now, especially in the days coming up to Thanksgiving as we record this program, that there's a heck of a lot to be thankful for in the world of NASCAR. I mentioned it earlier in the program, the earliest ever sellout for the Daytona 500, an increase. And again, guys, this is not, you know, set in stone statistically wise. When you went to a racetrack this year, I believe, honestly, you felt a better vibe. The development of some talent. Guys, there are really, really good days ahead of us. Let's get over this speed bump. Our engine might have blown up right now, but we're going to fix it. We're going to get back on track.
All right. And next up, got about 30 seconds for you, Jeff Hammond.
It's real simple. We're going to be looking at the surprises of who is hot and who is not when we drop the green flag in Daytona in all three series. A lot of talent, but a lot of people right now have made changes within their organizations so they can take down the likes of Kyle Larson and Cup and Connor Zillage and everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Each one of those champions have got a target on their back and everybody's gunning for them.
All right. I think you're absolutely right. Well, and I think John hit on it. It's a season to be thankful. We got a lot to be thankful for in this sport. I think the racing has never been better. You know, people talk about TV ratings, like what the CW did this year, televising all the now O'Reilly series. Their numbers were great. So, I mean, I think there's a lot to be thankful for as we look forward to 2026. Forget all the stuff off track, but think about what we have on track. A lot to be thankful for, and a lot of people we had to be thankful for. And we thank you for being with us on the O'Reilly Auto on the Pit Reporters.
Have Join a great us time. Again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.